Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Time to talk a little Washington Capitals hockey. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in DMV, is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Coach Carves, I need to clap you up. 100th win with the Washington Capitals in that victory over the Kings. It had to feel good. You getting presented with the puck in the locker room. You were on the receiving end of the celebratory puck instead of you giving it to one of the players for a milestone or an accomplishment. That had to feel good, getting that recognition from your players and your coaches.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I honestly had no idea, and I guess was going to do that, or that it was the 100th win since I've been here. So that was really cool moment, and just be able to share that with the guys and let them know how fortunate my family and I are to have been here for the last 2+ years and be the head coach of this great organization.
I want to ask you a coaching question. You know, I coach kids sports. Some of us coach kids sports, and one of the things that's hard is communication, right? Now, you've guys got pros who've been doing things for years and years. You guys have been struggling with special teams. I'm wondering, how do you keep them engaged when you've probably taught something over and over and over again?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And we talk about that as a staff all the time, of how do you present information or quote unquote coach in different ways so that it doesn't get stale. Mm-hmm. And even when you're struggling, if you keep doing the same thing and presenting information or teaching the same way, eventually it's like, this ain't working, man. Like, give me something different.
Right.
So we talk about that all the time in different ways that we can, whether we're showing film or doing individual teaching or on ice practicing, how can we do, like, because I'll give you an example. Like, we practice the power play a certain way basically every, you know, day or opportunity that we have a practice. When things aren't going well, sometimes it's a good idea to do something different with the way you practice it. Don't just do the regular what you do, split ends. Okay, you guys go, and then whistle. Okay, now you guys go. Do something different that catches their attention, that maybe focuses on a different part of your power play that, you know, gets them a little bit more engaged or thinking about something that you've maybe struggled with or you want to do more of. So, Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but I think the important thing is, like you said, is you're trying to figure out, especially when you're struggling, are we doing it the right way with our preparation and our teaching and our coaching?
Well, at your level, I mean, I'm sure there's an infinite number of ways you could do it, but realistically, how many different ways can you tackle a power play? How many different options can you actually have?
Yeah, you're right. There's not like, I mean, you can't get crazy and reinvent the wheel. Like, but what you can do is, let me give you an example. Like this morning we play Edmonton, okay, tonight. So we'll have a power play pre-scout, okay? So like a pre-scout meeting, and it basically usually is about 8 minutes. It goes through all the different areas of Edmonton's penalty kill. Okay, here's what they're doing. Here's what they're taking away. Here's what they're struggling with, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you can do that differently this morning. Maybe you focus on some – normally you focus on the face-offs, their forecheck, and their in-zone pressure. Maybe you do it differently this morning and focus – like, here's an example. We've done this in the past. Is just show us having success.
Mm-hmm.
But don't even show Edmonton. Just go, okay, here's when we look like our best. So now if you're sitting in there and you're on the power play, you're watching yourself against teams all over the league from this year when we've been really, really good and really sharp. So the puck and now you're going into the game. You didn't see anything on Edmonton in the pre-scout, but you saw yourself having success on the power play, passing it crisp, shooting it in the net, finding the best option, making clean plays. So there's an example of a different way to do it that potentially sparks the guys and gives you a different result.
Coach Carrs, is it frustrating that your foundation and your base is really good? Like that Monday game against the Kings, that was the eighth time this year that the Caps have given up one or fewer goals against in a game. That's tops in the NHL. You've yielded an average of 2.47 goals against per game, tied for third in the league. Like that base is good, but if you could get the teams along with it, then you'd really be cooking, you know. Like, does that frustrate you that one part of it's really good and you're still trying to get to that next part to add to it?
Yeah, yes and no. Yes, from a standpoint of, I feel like you're really close and you're not getting the results consistently 19 games through the season. So that's frustrating, no doubt. But no, from a standpoint of, special teams are part of it. So, like, that's part of your team. And scoring goals and finishing and, you know, when we have a team on the ropes, being able to capitalize on an odd man rush, like, that's part of winning games. So it's kind of all-encompassing. So you can't be just, oh, you know, our special teams hasn't been great. Well, let's just blame it on that and be really pissed off at our special teams. Special teams has been a part of winning hockey games in this league since the beginning of the league's induction. So, I put it in there. Yeah, are we right there and close, and our 5-on-5 game looks really, really good? No doubt. So that should give us a lot of confidence and a lot of hope. Now, special teams are a big part of winning games and a big part of games in general. So we have to do a better job there, and all of our staff and players play a role in that.
Coach Chucky was stellar Monday night against the Kings. That team was red hot on the road too. 9-1-2 away from LA prior to coming to Cap One on Monday. Chucky stops 30 of 31, gets his first win in over a month, and it came at a perfect time for the Caps.
Yeah, he was outstanding, and he's had a little bit of a tough go to start the year. His starts, because Logan's sort of taken the ball and run with it early in the season and played at such a high level and getting majority of the starts. Chucky, just the way the schedule has worked out, majority of his starts have been on the back half of a back-to-back. So those, you know, I'm not giving him excuses, because anytime, whether it's a back-to-back or you're fresh and haven't played in 3 days, like, an NHL game is an NHL game, and you want to perform well no matter the circumstances, whether it's road, home, whatever it might be. But the reality is he had played a bunch of back-to-back games where in front of him, a little bit more challenging, and we didn't perform up to our standard in those games. And so, you know, he's getting thrown into the fire a little bit, and next thing you know, the results aren't great, and, you know, we're giving up more goals than we should. And so for him to get a good start against a really good hockey team in L.A., great road team at home, and the guys to play well in front of him, and when we did – bend, he was right there to bail us out. So I was really happy for him. And I know the guys were itching to kind of, you know, right the ship for him and give him a good start or a good performance in front of him for sure.
Coach Carrs, we haven't really drilled down on this in the last week, but the loss of Pierre-Luc Dubois for multiple months, that is a crushing injury to the Caps. You've had to juggle lines as a result. That second line that you trotted out or have been, you know, working with recently was sort of centering Willie and Pro. That's been really solid thus far. Talk specifically about sort of. I mean, that was a guy that not a lot of Caps fans, you know, knew about, didn't have a lot of NHL yeah. experience before he showed up here in a trade.
Yeah, I think, like, we've talked a lot about Doobie, and I can't say it enough, like, just how much he means to our team, and missing him, it's a huge hole, and he was so important to our team for a lot of different reasons. I know when you look at the stats and the production, you're kind of like, oh, okay, I see it, sort of, but he's, you know, behind Stromer and a bunch of guys production-wise, but he does so many things that for our team, playing center with his matchups that just balance our whole forward group out. So losing him, no doubt, huge hole in our lineup. So we've kind of been trying to figure it out. Is it McMichael? Is it more reliant on Strome to play against top six and Ovi? Are they able to handle that? And the sort of wild card in this was Justin Sortif, who we traded for this summer. We got from the Florida Panthers for a second round pick, who we really liked as an organization. Us as coaches really didn't know him. He hadn't played in the NHL. Most of his career he had been in the minors thus far. Coming here, we sort of had him slotted on the fourth line to play wing with Dowd and Duhaime, and he was doing a pretty good job, and their line was okay and not much production. But having talked to him, and as he got more comfortable with our team, with our coaches, with his teammates, he's a natural centerman. Like, that's where he grew up playing center ice. So we had him on right wing with Dowder. So at some point, I always had in the back of my mind, like, let's give this guy an opportunity to play center and see how it looks. And so we gave him a few games, third line center, and was pretty solid, moved him back to wing. And then when the Dubois injury happened and Mikey was playing the middle, and but he was sort of struggling with that role, playing with Protoss and Willie. So we decided to make a change and say, you know what, let's move Mikey back to the wing and give sort of an opportunity to play with Protoss and Wilson. And man, has it been, he's just run with the opportunity. That line has been fantastic. They've only scored two goals, but if you look at the underlying numbers, they're like bonkers. How much they're controlling play, generating scoring chances, spending basically their whole shift on our opponent's half of the ice, which is nice to see.
Talking to Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Capitals, they're off to a 9-8-2 start. So I was driving around the other night while you guys were playing, and I'm listening to John Walton on the call, and Ryan Leonard drew a penalty, and I was like, and they were really complimenting his speed, and now he draws penalties. And then I kind of did like a deep dive, and I was like, man, he's not on the ice that much. What do you need to see him to be on the ice more? Because it seems like he can make a difference.
He absolutely can, no doubt. And I would agree with that. Like, he needs to get it. It's why we sort of made this change and moved Dowd to the third line. Part of the reason we did that was to get Leno a little bit more ice. But I'll say this, like, Leno is a incredible player and talented and going to be a great player in this league for a long, long time. Okay. There is no doubt about that. He does something every game, three or four things that guys cannot do on our roster. They can't. And he creates something and it looks great. And right now they're not going in for him. Like, the production isn't quite there, but he's generating great looks. Like you just said, draw a penalty. That's a positive thing. Okay, but I will say this, as a young player, there's more than just making something happen offensively, and that's what we're working with him on, so that we can be a winning team and he can be out there on the ice and not miss any coverage or not make a poor decision with the puck when the game's 2-2 and we need to make really, really good decisions because there's only 8 minutes left in the game and it's really, really tight. And if we turn a puck over at our blue line here, in a 2-2 game, it could cost us 2 points. And now everybody's going to be really, really frustrated, including our fan base, including our coaches, including our players. Okay. So that stuff is, it's hard. And for young players, It is not an easy league to make the right decisions 90% of the time and make the right reads 90% of the time. So that's all it is. It's just him, and he's getting better and better and better, and it's just us working with him and making sure that those good habits and good reads are being ingrained in his game early on in the season. And there's no doubt he's going to be playing 15, 20 minutes before you know it.
Coach Carbs, you broke up the Dewey and Doubter bromance. Are those guys okay? How are they handling it? They've played a ton together since Dewey's arrival in D.C. Are they coping, or are they okay?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they're like that it hasn't affected them. Like, they both know it, and I mean, they're pros, so it's not like it's affecting their game or anything like that. But they did acknowledge the fact that what's going on, this is crazy. We've been together for so many shifts together, like probably 1,000 over the last year plus. And so it just gives us a different look. I've talked to both guys, and they're going to play a bunch of shifts every night together, and penalty kill stuff and all of those deployment situations. But we just want to try to get a little bit of a different look with our forward lines and moving Dowd to play with Bovillia and Leonard right now. I think gives us a good opportunity that helps a bunch of different objectives that we have.
All right, you guys host the Oilers tonight. Best of luck, Coach.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you,
good
Coach.
Talking to you.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It, buddy.
It's Coach Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, let's get into Adam Peters. Last year, everybody thought this guy walked on water. Now, people have turned against him. Mm. Last year it was, let Adam cook, and Adam we trust.
Right.
What do you think of the Commanders GM now, after this season has had 6 losses in a row?
Are we going to rank them?
An older roster? We can get into that next here on the Junkies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a category nobody really probably tracks. Hat tricks for 40-year-olds in the NHL.
He might be leading that one.
Well, there are some stats on that, and I believe our next guest is going to have some details on that. John Walton joins us now. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Zabe sitting in for JP. Good morning, Mr. Walton. How are you?
John, I love you. Welcome, Zabe.
Zabe, we have not done this in a long time. It is good to talk with you. And B. Mitch, I appreciate the theme music as always.
John's the biggest Prince fan out there.
I love it. So, yeah. So John, last time you and I actually, I think, were within eyesight of each other, even though we didn't speak, June 7th, 2018.
Damn.
Do you remember what happened on that day?
It was a good day, so I think maybe this is going to bring about good events is the best that I can imagine here. Yeah, that was
Stanley Cup Game 5 in Vegas, 4-3 final. Cup gets raised. I'm there as a fan just because a friend of a friend said, hey, I got a ticket. You want to come out? And I'm like, hell yeah. And I'm like, they better win it tonight because this is the only ticket I have for the series. Like, if it goes further than this. But then I saw you got to have your skate with Lord Stanley, and you talked about how much it meant to you as a kid growing up with the game of hockey, and I thought that is a really cool, special thing. I was very happy for you, John.
Yeah, that was an amazing night, and easily in 15 seasons here, the best moment I think you could ever ask for. And yeah, just the memories of that. It's funny, you know, as a kid and, you know, in your 20s and whatever, you know, going to Vegas with your buddies, you never could have imagined that the best hockey moment you'd ever have in your life, and certainly one of the best moments of your life, period, would be in Vegas. It would have nothing to do with winning anything other than just being along for the ride with the greatest group of guys ever. It was such a special time back
Very
then.
Very cool. And Alex Ovechkin is still churning along. I would have ventured to bet that many casual sports fans, not from D.C., that know of Ovechkin, that don't follow the NHL on the regular, might be shocked to be like, he's still playing? He's 40? And like, I mean, I know he broke the record last year, so that would catch the eye of the casuals.
He's 40 and he got a hat trick last night.
Right. Okay. So give me your perspective on the unbelievable Russian machine that never breaks, even at 40.
You know, this season has been wild in the fact that not just with Alex, but in the first quarter of the season, which really kind of came to a close earlier this week, this team had trouble scoring goals. It seemed to be contagious. The special teams haven't been very good. And they started out winning 6 of 8, but then they went a stretch of 10 games and they only won twice and things weren't going very well. And then all of a sudden, this week, in beating Los Angeles and then just beating up on Edmonton here and then pummeling Montreal last night, and Alex, again, is right in the middle of it. And he had a hat trick last year against Edmonton in February, 32nd hat trick of his career. And the way he started, it's like, okay, he's getting a few, and he's starting to heat up a little bit. But, you know, when he goes into Montreal, something special happens. He has hat tricked them 4 times now, the most of any single team in his career. Damn. And it's not even a divisional team, right? Like you'd expect if it were, you know, the Rangers or the Flyers or even back in the Southeast Division days, the Florida Panthers or Tampa Bay or something. They've never been in division with Montreal. That doesn't seem to matter. He just goes in there and beats them up. So even at 40, and to be able to do what he did at the end of the game. And guys, I want to talk a little bit about Dylan Strome last night because Ovi got the hat trick in large part because of a pass that Dylan made to him. And we're like, wow, Dylan had this tremendous night, 3 assists, and we're talking about it. And we didn't know what had happened during the game where, you know, his wife was due in 2 weeks with their third child, a daughter. And we find out when we walk in the room, Ovi actually talked first, and he was talking about Stromer and a big night for his family. And, you know, Mike Vogel and I are looking at each other like, what's he talking about? I have no idea what's happening right now. And then Stromer comes back and I have something to say. And He breaks down. He starts crying. He's emotional. He missed the birth of his daughter. It happened so fast. She went in during the warm-up of the game last night, and the child was born by 7:30. We weren't even out of the first period yet.
Wow.
And so here he is, not even in the country, and this wildly emotional moment. I mean, you guys have been in a whole lot of locker rooms, and I have too. I've never had a moment like that where I'm looking across at other people in the scrum going, well, didn't expect it. I thought we were going to talk about 8 goals and a big Caps win here, and now suddenly we've taken a big left turn. And
It was emotional. It was bonding, I think, for these guys, too. It was just such a wild room, and they were so supportive of him, and it was so emotional. And just on a random Thursday night in November in the middle of the season, it was crazy last night.
So imagine the stories they're going to tell that kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Baby, you know the night you were born? Right.
So Ovechkin has the hat trick, but Strome had the life trick.
Yeah.
Third daughter, John. On a three assist night.
Yeah.
Now, I've got two daughters, but three daughters, I mean, it's going to be a wild ride in their teenagers. You got three daughters,
yes.
Bitch?
Yes.
Three for three?
And three or four.
Okay.
Son was first, and then I got three in a row.
Well, you know how it is when they're teenagers. So he's going to be a wild ride with three daughters when they're in high school, but it's what a blessing that is. And I am hoping and assuming, John, that the Caps social media team has some assets of that moment that they're going to put out at some point?
Oh, yeah. They've got video out. They're so good at that. Like, they
is it out already?
Out last night. Yeah, it's okay. Out there. And then, so, I mean, I was sitting there asking a question. That was, you know, I'm ready to ask a hockey question, and then we're hit with that. And it was like, well, what do you ask now? So Mike Vogel actually started, and he said, you know, just what, you know, the emotion of it. And then I said, you know, what did it mean to have your teammates behind you? I mean, that's such a, you know, it's pretty devastating. The due date was in 2 weeks. Like, we were talking about the California trip in 2 weeks. Like, maybe Dylan wouldn't be there for right. part of it because of the birth of their child. And here he is in Montreal. We were gone. We were only in Montreal for 22 hours. I mean, we got in at 2 in the morning. We were out last night before midnight. So it was a shortest of short trips. You're not even probably thinking, it's like, I'll be home. And even he said, I'm going to get home in time. Like, I mean, I got a chance, right? I mean, the game's going to go. We're going to fly right home. We're going to be at Dulles by 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30, whatever. And I'll go right to the hospital. And it just didn't work that way for him.
Yeah, so, I was able to get home one time. I rolled in the house and rolled right back out.
rolled in?
I got back from Kansas City.
Change your
like,
undershirt?
Don't stop. Let's keep moving.
Oh,
and
my
go
God.
Back and boom.
That is funny. Yep. So it would be funny if the announcers, the PA announcer, John, said, goal by number 8, assist number 17. Also, your daughter has been born. Congratulations. At 4:23 of the first period, 4:23. Goal to number 8 and a child to number 17.
And it was in Montreal, so it would have been in French, too. That would have been great.
Right, exactly. All right, so with this last couple of games where they've just slaughtered some teams.
15 goals.
What does it do to the outlook for the rest of the season? And I wasn't here to start the year to get the vibe, John, on what they were thinking this year was going to be. But does it change things?
I think there are still some work things that need to be done. It's a work in progress. I would say special teams still have a ways to go. But I think that some of the injuries are going to still be an issue. Pierre-Luc Dubois probably won't be back until after the Olympics. And for Nick Dowd, missing last night, something shorter term, but hopefully he's back soon. Those are two big losses defensively. But this team is, you know, last year was wild in the fact that I didn't think that they were a division winner. I certainly didn't think they would be at the very top of the Eastern Conference. I thought they were a good team, but they were a great team, and they won a playoff round. And you know, they found, okay, this is what we got to do to beat Carolina. We got to get faster. We got to, you know, they were legitimately one of the top 8 teams in the regular season, the second best team in the league last year. They had a lot of guys that had career years. So in any sport, you're going to have some regression. And the Caps had more than their share the first quarter, where Connor McMichael was off to a slow start. Alexei Protas was off to a slow start. And even Alex was off to a slow start. But they all seem to be, after all the puck luck that hadn't gone their way in the first 16, 17 games, now in the last little bit, feels like it's starting to turn the corner a little bit. They found some line combinations that work. They will probably be hard-pressed to turn it into a division title before it's all said and done. But I've said it from the beginning. Carolina, New Jersey, Washington, probably the top 3 teams in the league. They filter out in some way, shape, or form. And the Caps very much, will be a playoff team when it's all said and done. And in the Eastern Conference this year, guys, and I don't know how much you see it day-to-day, but it's wild right now. Everybody is within. I mean, the Caps were, before the game on Monday, they were in 26th place in the league. they are now 2 points from first place in the Metropolitan Division, which is crazy. I mean, just three wins and it's so bunched together and nobody's pulled away. Nobody's lost too much. Everybody's kind of in that mushy middle. And it just, you know, the Caps have weathered that. So now, if you can start turning the corner, do more of what happened last year, improve on special teams, get some guys back, no reason to think the good things aren't going to happen here.
John, answer you this question. Ovi last year got injured, broke his leg, came back, and you start questioning, will he be able to break the record? He did that. This year, now he started off a little slow. He got a hat trick last night. We're 22 games in, 62 games left. Has 7 goals now. What's the possibility or the expectation of how many goals he can score this year?
I mean, I'm laughing because it's just, he's 40. And every time, I've 15 years of me doing this now, and every year, even going back to, you know, late 20s, early 30s, like, oh, he's going to slow down. Oh, this is going to, you know, is he going to get the record? Is he going to even get to, you know, 700? And then, you know, he just keeps going and gets 50 yeah. goals and hat tricks on the second to last day of the season to get to 50 when you didn't think he'd get there. And then you think, oh, he's going to blow the record away. And then you're right. He breaks his leg almost a year ago to the day in Salt Lake City. And like, oh, he's not going to do it this year. And then, well, of course he's going to do it. It's Alex. He always does it. And now, you know, I was even talking with a couple of people after the game last night. I'm like, you know, after 32 hat tricks, you know, he's 40. Are we going to see another one? And then lo and behold, of course, he does it in Montreal. I mean, how dare I even think that he might not do it again? Because he always does it again. And there's going to come a day when he doesn't, and it's time to call it a career. But right now,
he might be 50 then.
I mean, he might be, right? I mean, everything is just, I mean, he just keeps finding ways to do it. And, you know, now, you know, working with Dylan Strome last night and back with Anthony Beauvillier, he's been with a lot of different line mates. There's been a lot of changes, a lot of, the lineup's been in flux most nights, and he just has gotten on a heater again. And as he goes, so goes the team. And you'd like to think that that gets the power play jump started. They have their just their second game all season last night that they had more than one power play goal in a game. So maybe the sky's the limit. Ethan Frank hadn't scored a goal since last season, a stretch of 18 games. He got 4 points last night, 2 goals, 2 assists. And just everybody seems to be all of the sudden, after a lot of guys were really fighting it, a lot of guys feeling pretty good coming back from Montreal last night, getting ready for Tampa tomorrow.
You mentioned Dubois not being back until after the Olympics. I just want to talk about how happy I am that the Olympics and the NHL have figured this out, because I have thought that this being a part of the Olympics is one of the great things that they finally figured out how to do. So I'm excited for it this winter.
Yeah, and me too. And on our Saturday show here tomorrow on a fan on Cap Saturday Faceoff, Kenny Albert's going to join us, and Kenny's calling the Olympics and calling hockey in Milan, and we talk about that. It's just the greatest tournament, not since Sochi, not since 2014, to your point, have we seen this. And now, as the best on best go at it in a bigger tournament, Four Nations last year was great, but it's only four countries, right?
Right.
So now that you have this bigger stage and Team USA strong in goal, and listen, we got a couple of guys for Team Canada that Tom Wilson and Logan Thompson, who I both hope get to go here, and we see them there. Tom Wilson seems to be trending in the media in Canada as being someone who will probably be there. I think there's a real good chance he will be. I hope Logan Thompson is. He's the best Canadian goalie going. You'd think they'd figure that out. But, you know, he came from Vegas to Washington, and the Vegas guys are in the search committee, so to speak, for the team. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I get the sense that, you know, things are a little frosty there. They better get over it, because Logan's the best goalie. He needs to go, and I hope he does. And he's just been terrific for this team, such a good citizen in the room, and very happy that, you know, what he's been able to do, one of the best goalies in the NHL again this year. What a great move for the Caps to get him. But, yeah, hopefully we got some local flavor going over there, too. We'll find out here.
All right. Very good.
More interesting.
Yep. Thank you for your time, John. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right. Man. John Walton brought to you on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Coming up, the college football weekend. It's the calm before the rivalry storm weekend. And a pet peeve that I need to get off my...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
My chest. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Zabe sitting in.
Caulfield fires. Lindgren slams those pants together in the nick of time. Ovechkin to the empty cage. Yes, sir! Hat trick for Alex Ovechkin. Career trick number 33.
Joe B's call last night on Monumental from the Bell Center in Montreal. Alex Ovechkin, a hat trick. Passed Joe Sakic to claim the 10th spot on the all-time points list. The Caps also won the game 8-4. They've actually put together quite a three-game win streak, which has included 15 goals in the last two games. Joining us right now is one of my favorites to have on the show, Joe Beninati, longtime voice of the Capitals. So, how long can he do this for?
Every question, every interview starts with the same question with regard to number 8. And I understand why. There are times when you think he's never going to score again. Then there are times you think he's never going to stop scoring. It's just where he is, I think, instinctually as a hockey player. He's grown so much. I'm watching all these highlights and going back over 20-year retrospectives, and I remember what he was. And I remember what he became, and I remember where he is now. And you sit there and go, not only does he score the goals in bush by the bushel, but he does it in a variety of different ways. I think he's learned more. He's become more instinctive. I think he knows where to be. And I don't think we give his current center iceman nearly enough credit. Dylan Strome is a wonderful setup man for Alex and knows exactly where the big guy wants the puck, when he wants it. And, yeah, if they keep clicking like this, sure, it can continue. The best thing for me that I see, though, through the first 5-6 weeks of a new season, he's moving better. He's moving better in the last week than he did 2 weeks ago. And I think that's going to continue. I know Kevin coming out of training camp late in his personal training sessions. I know there was an injury that set him back. And he's been, what's that expression? He's like trying to catch a moving train all during camp and during the first few weeks of the season when he looks brittle on the ice at age 40. But lately, moving better. In particular, the second goal last night. You know, his ability to get up ice on that two-on-one, receive that pass, and shoot it in stride. I mean, that looks like Alex of 5 years ago. That doesn't look like Alex at age 40. So to me, the answer to your question is, as long as the body feels good, the shot's never going to go away from him, so he's always going to be a threat as long as he's feeling good and skating well.
That's interesting to hear that, you know, he looks better physically. By the way, congratulations to Dylan Strome. His wife had a baby while he was playing a game in Montreal. It appears that everybody is healthy. Congrats to him. You know, is there a comp for him in terms of, we know there's not a goal scoring comp, he's the all-time goal scorer, but in terms of playing at this level at 40 years old, you know, I know Jágr went for a while, Gordie Howe obviously went for a while, like, can he do this for another 3, 4, 5 years? Could he be 45 years old and we're having the same conversation?
Alex is the only one who knows that, Kevin. To me, it's when you get to this point, I think it might be more so between the ears. Where is he mentally? Does he? To me, I've always seen him arrive at the game like a five-year-old. He loves the sport that much and still does. So his enthusiasm hasn't waned. Will it when he's 40, 41, 42, 43? I don't know. Alex is the only one who knows that. The body of work that he's produced, there aren't any comps. You use a Jaromir Jágr reference point, and that's a good one because of the body size.
Right.
I'm not sure how many people realize that Jágr was a monster.
Yeah.
Ovechkin is a monster at 6'3 and almost 230, 240. Jágr, very, very comparable in size and strength. And Jaromir had the will to want to play and still does play at the highest of levels in Europe or on his team that he owns. Could he do it? Sure. Does he want to do it? Does he have the willpower to do it? Does he share that same enthusiasm that he has still today? And he loves this team. And I think he loves what he's seen from a prospect standpoint, what's to come for Washington down the road a year or two from now, I think even excites him. I don't know if he puts himself there. He's the only one who knows if he's going to put himself there next season, the year beyond that, or if this is the only one. I think time will tell. If this is the last one, he's the only one who's going to tell us that, and he hasn't made up that decision yet. He hasn't made his mind up.
Is a part of the conversation with respect to what's next for him that this idea that he might go back and finish his career in Russia, that's a possibility?
I think he's always wanted to do that, Kevin.
Yeah.
Whether or not he was the NHL's all-time goal-scoring champion or in the discussion as the greatest goal scorer of all time, now that he's achieved those things, I don't think that matters. I think 10 years ago he would have told you, yeah, I'd like to give back to Russia. I'd like to give back to the team that I'm connected to in Moscow. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some level, in some way, he does play beyond his NHL years. I think that's always been in his mindset.
You know, Joe, you mentioned something just about, you know, he's a goal scorer, he's a shooter. Like, I for me, it's easy to think more about basketball than it is about hockey, but I think about basketball shooters. Like, once a shooter, always a shooter. Like, if you can shoot the ball at 8 years old, you can probably shoot it at 80 years old. And you see, you know, in the NBA over the course of many, many years, especially once the three-point shot became such a big part of the game, you know, whether it was, you know, Reggie Miller or Ray Allen or, you know, even a guy like Kyle Korver or, you know, back to the Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob days. Like, if you can shoot it, you can hang around in the right situations and play until you're 39, 40, 41 years old. Is that a good comp to his, you know, greatest strength, which is he's a shooter and he'll always be a shooter, so he belongs?
In hockey speak, then you would take that, you'd extrapolate it out and say, well, he should then get so many goals, as we've seen so often, on the power play. And this season he hasn't. He hasn't scored the patented power play goal from the left faceoff dot, his office, the patented one-timer that we've seen hundreds of times. We haven't seen that. Last night was the first power play goal for him all season. It was the longest he'd ever gone to start a regular season without a PPG. And that power play goal last night was right off the faceoff. And, oh, by the way, the game's most lethal snap wrist shot you've ever seen. He still does have that. And you mentioned some beautiful NBA shooters. I always keep coming back to when I watch these videos of Steph Curry shooting basketballs from the parking lot and making them. And I sit there and go, boy, it's such a beautiful stroke. Alex's stroke from a shooting hockey standpoint isn't necessarily beautiful. It's raw power. The timing of it, when he does time up the one-timer, that's beautiful. But what's overwhelmed goalies for so long is the way he releases the shot, the way the puck leaves the blade, the curvature of his blade creates this odd sort of slider knuckleball effect in baseball parlance. And that's what creates such a problem for goalies. They don't read it well. And then, oh, by the way, it's whizzing by them in the high 90s. So it's an uncomfortable shot to try and stop. I told you, he's going to score in his 80s. He's going to be playing beer league hockey, and that shot will never go away. The forearm strength, whatever's built into his wrists, his timing, that's so good. Now, if you want to say Alex at 40, you're watching those one-timers, and he's not hitting them as cleanly or as proficiently and efficiently as possible as he's done in the past, I think that's Father Time. But when he does uncork them, they're magic to watch and just hell for a goalie to try and stop.
What's the reaction? Like, how do his teammates treat him? How does he interact with players that are so much younger? I understand that there are players like John Carlson and others that are up there as well. But, you know, a guy like Ryan Leonard and some of these true young players, are they starstruck, or is it just, hey, it's Alex?
It was a pretty cool interview last night. Ethan Frank scores two goals in the second period, and an assist. He had a three-point period for Ethan Frank, who's been an American League All-Star. He's a top threat at the AHL. We're just waiting for that to mature and blossom if it's going to happen in the NHL. And last night, boom, he gets two goals. He gets an assist. The first goal is assisted by Ovechkin, and he's sitting with Al Kokin in between periods. And you can just tell what an honor it is for him. He says, anytime I'm on the ice with him, I receive a pass from him. He sets me up. It's an honor. Starstruck, probably to some degree early in their careers, the younger guys. But they realize he's such a good guy. I can only speak to the Washington Capitals. I don't travel with 31 different teams. I travel with the Caps, and I watch the way that he interacts with the entire team, whether it be veterans or first-year guys. You know, it could be the youngest guy on the team. It could be the oldest guy next to him on the team. He's just such a fun-loving person around the rink. They all gravitate toward him, and they now know what he's done and what he's accomplished. And for so many of them grew up wearing his jersey and wanting to be him. I would imagine it's pretty cool to be able to sit there and go, yeah, I'm a pro hockey player now, and I'm playing with my idol, and he just set me up. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah. 10 goals now, 10 assists, 20 points on the season. I mean, he's on a roll here, 7 goals in his last 6 games, so he's on a heater a bit. You mentioned the power play, and it was one of the things I was thinking about, and I looked it up this morning before the show, that it hasn't come on the power play, but it hasn't come on the power play for the team either. They have struggled as a team on the power play this year. They're in the bottom quarter of the league in power play percentage. Why is that?
Last time we spoke, you wisely asked me, if the Capitals don't do well this year, you asked, why would they fall off? And I think I came up with a pretty good answer in that their special teams wouldn't be good.
for some reason the power play would fall off, or for some reason the penalty kill wouldn't be where it would be. And in the first 5 weeks, 6 weeks of the season, that's been the problem. The Caps have been just fine 5-on-5. Their goals against average 5-on-5 is right there top of the league. It hasn't come offensively on the power play for the most part, and the penalty killing has been erratic and had some bad breaks. But the reason why the Caps, I think, aren't higher in the standings, don't have a better record, is because they've had some power play difficulties. Now, that's not the only reason, but it's one of those. The special teams haven't been, per se, up to snuff. Now, that's cyclical. And you just mentioned Alex Ovechkin on a heater. Usually when that happens, that's going to include power play goals. So yeah. All of a sudden, you check the notes. Ooh, power play goals now in three straight games and doing better on the PK and coming up with a... Sometimes those stats can be deceiving, Kevin. I know if the penalty killing percentage isn't in the high 80s, people get worried. But as long as you kill the big shorthanded situation late in the game, you make the shot block on the penalty kill that helps preserve a one-goal lead, that's going to earn you points for Spencer Carberry and the coaching staff. Even though maybe, you know, you gave up another power play goal, but still you shut down that most important one in the third period against a team that really moves a puck like Montreal. All of a sudden, those are things that the staff, coaching staff points to and says, good, this is us climbing. We're getting better. We're going to find our rhythm here. And all of a sudden, the numbers are going to match up. And the Caps are going to have a spell where, wow, they just went 4-for-7 on the power play. And wow, they've just killed 19 straight. And that cures whatever ails the overall statistical numbers. As long as you're getting the big power play, at the very least, I always hear Spencer say this, as long as the power play's failure isn't hurting the rest of your offense, that's the problem. When the power play goes out there, sputters, doesn't give any momentum to the 5-on-5, now you're going to lull around and you're not going to score the way we know they can score. They're picking it up. They're getting more productive in the first periods in the last couple of games. Obviously, 15 goals in two games helps.
Yeah.
But that's going to breed confidence. And more than anything, I think that's what a number of these younger players, once they see the red light coming on for themselves and for their teammates, they're going to go, okay, we can do this. We can live up to expectation.
You know, you know me. I'm not sitting here watching every game every night. It's not my thing, but I have a couple of friends who are into it. And they've actually, like, when they were going through some struggles, you know, I heard, yeah, but you know what? They're actually a good team, and they're not getting there yet. They had that 4-game or 5-game losing skid. There wasn't any alarm with them. What do we know right now through, you know, what is it, 20-21 games about this team?
I think you could, if you compiled the first 2 years under Spencer Carberry, I think you can understand why there's no panic. The first year under Carberry, they had to win games 2-1. They were not scoring nearly as well as we might have expected. They had to grind things out. Year two under Carberry, his NHL Coach of the Year award, they're running away with the East. They're scoring 5 goals a game. If you compile and mix those two, now you're seeing what's happening in year three. And they realize, okay, if we have to fall back on the 2-1 philosophy, if we have to lean on the boy, Logan and Chucky, the two goalies have to be tremendous for us to have a chance, we can do that. Or now, in the last week or so, if we need to pump it up and win some games where all of a sudden, wow, the defense gave up 3 and 4. Oh, there's no chance. Well, they've just won 2 games in a row where they've given up 4 goals. That's not the script. I don't think Spencer Carberry is going to sit there and go, yeah, we want to give up 4 goals a game. No, no, no. But if you can outscore your issues in those 2 games, you can have that in the memory bank to sit there and go, okay, if we need to win the 1-0 one, we did that a couple of years ago. If we need to win the 8-7 one, we'll show you that we can do that too. That's promising to me, and that's why I don't think they're panicking.
Logan Thompson, you know, you can't have a conversation about where a team is in at any point in the season without talking about goaltending. He's been outstanding so far. Do you feel like this is sustainable with him?
I think he, Tom Wilson, Jacob Chychrun are right there for team's most valuable player in the first 2 months of the season. And Logan, it always comes back, and the goalies get, I guess, undeserved amount of attention all the time. It's such a critical, it's such an important part of the game. That position gets so much magnifying glass and microscope on it. And you watch him up until recently, up until the last couple of weeks, all he was doing was giving up two goals or less. I mean, he started the season with an amazing stretch of two goals or less. And you, if you talk to any coach or any player, if your goalie's doing that for you, you have the chance to win every game. And not only is he keeping the goals against average down, but he's making extraordinary saves, what the analytics community calls saves above expected. You know, that's expected to go in, and he stopped it. Well, he's making three or four of those a game. That's impressive. That's way up high on the list. And that's why I would put him in my team MVP discussion. And Charlie's played really well in the last couple of weeks. And Charlie had a four-game personal losing skid where he wasn't playing poorly. Caps weren't getting him any run support. There wasn't very much scoring to help defend him. But I think Charlie's been rewarded the last two starts, including last night, and then a very sound one against L.A. If you've got both of those guys performing at the level they can, you're going to be competitive. And then if the team starts to heat up offensively, then you're going to get on one of these rolls where all of a sudden you'll climb in the standings quickly. And just take a peek at that Metro. Everybody's quality in that division. There's no real runt in that division.
You know, it's interesting watching the NHL standings. I mean, first of all, you always end up with teams that weren't expected to be good at this point in the year that are. Sometimes, you know, a team like Florida starts off very slowly, but it's a long journey. But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about the Caps in sort of preparing for you is they've beaten some good teams, and they've got another one coming up in their next game against Tampa Bay, but they beat Carolina. I mean, when you play against some of the league's better teams, even though it's the regular season, is it a good tell when you play better against those best teams about what, you know, maybe the season might portend?
Yeah, I think it is, Kevin, and I'll use this as a way of explaining it. When we are on the road, Locker and I and Al Kokin, or at home, however, wherever it be, but especially on the road where we're going and we're visiting with the home team. We're sitting in with the Florida head coach, Paul Maurice. We're sitting in with Rod Brind'Amour. We're talking to media that covers the Hurricanes and the Devils, people that are around those squads. And all of a sudden you're talking to the New Jersey players, you're talking to the Carolina players, and they'll tell you, wow, Washington is really tough to play against. This is not an easy game for us. So the league's best feel like Washington belongs in that discussion. So that's a good thing. It's not just coming from your own camp. It's coming from others. It's coming from the other elite teams in the league who'll sit there and go, gosh, you know, our guys know when we play Washington, it's going to be a grind. They're so big. They're so physical. They're so good along the boards. They're so buttoned up defensively. Structurally, they're excellent. Florida, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion. Paul Maurice will sit there and go, you know, stylistically, structure-wise, they look a lot like us. That's a good sign. When you hear that, you realize that you're in the right place.
Where do they – last one for you, because it's just November, but I'm just – they're 20 games in, so they're basically approaching the quarter pole of this season. Where do they fit in the East? I know that Carolina and Florida are certainly, you know, way up on the list, but where do the Caps fit in after those two teams?
I've always said when – at least this year, I've always said – I thought Carolina and New Jersey would be the 1-2 in the Metro, with the Caps as a 3 spot and sniffing. It's not going to be a runaway. I think Carolina, Jersey, Washington, in some combination, are the top 3 teams in the division. The Islanders, their records impressed me. Pittsburgh, I did not think they would be where they are. So for them to have pushed Washington into a tie for 4th right now, I guess, in the Metro, that is surprising to me. But everybody in the East is getting better. Everybody. It just feels like all the teams in the East are getting better, and that feels like, oh, boy, everybody's gaining on the Caps then, because the Caps ran away with the East last year, ran away with the division last year. It just seems like everybody's gaining ground. Well, is it parity? Is that the word that's going to come out now? But you just look at the Metro. There isn't a team that's technically under NHL 500. all the way down to the Rangers, and we know that the Rangers on any night with their talent level can beat anyone. So Philadelphia, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Islanders, all playing better than I would have thought. To have those teams surrounding the Caps the way they are in the Metro right now is a surprise. And I don't think that makes anybody here in D.C. feel very good, but I often come back to I expect that the cream rises when you play out over 82 games. And I expect Washington to be right there with Carolina and Jersey, and it all depends, so much of it, not all, so much of it depends on injuries. The Capitals without Pierre-Luc Dubois, the New Jersey Devils without Jack Hughes. Carolina has been without its best shutdown defenseman in the entire league. And yet these teams still persist and do well and play above what you might anticipate when you lose people. The Florida Panthers without Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, come on. That's, you got to be a really good team to survive losing your two best players. And the Caps are going to feel that sting of missing Dubois over the months that he's going to be out. I still, though, imagine them with Carolina and Jersey in the Metro.
Yes, 16 teams in the East right now, and literally 15 of them are within 6 points of each other. It is bunched up, long way to go. It'll be entertaining. You know how much I appreciate when you jump on with me, especially on days like today. I thank you for it and hope you're well, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you, big boy. Thank you.
Yep, Joe Beninati, everybody. Alex Ovechkin went nuts last night. Hat trick, 33rd of his career, 7 goals last 6 games. Caps are on a bit of a run here with 3 straight, 15 goals in the last 2. They're sitting at 24 points, 4 points behind the Metro leader, Carolina. They play Tampa next, and Tampa's been playing very well. All right, we'll get to some football at 11 with Aaron Schatz. I'll have a quick thought when we come back on a huge local game here this weekend. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Speaking of enhancing the moment, the Capitals finished off a 24-hour period where they played 2 games last night, and they scored 15 goals.
Now, that seems like a lot of goals, 7.5 per game.
7 in game 1 at home, Capital One Arena win over Edmonton. They hit the road to play Montreal last night, and they one-upped themselves.
Yep.
They scored 8 goals. They got a couple of the kids going. Ethan Frank had a big night with multiple goals last evening. But the story was Alexander the Great. Alex Ovechkin, the great 8 last night, for the 33rd time in his illustrious, unprecedented, unfathomable career, delivers a hat trick for Washington. The first on a set piece on a faceoff, 1 second into the power play, 1 minute into the game. The second on a wrister that was awesome late in the third period to put the game to bed. And then the third, an empty net goal. On the night last night for Alex Ovechkin, so many new historical achievements, but it was memorable, and you heard it all right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Slavkovsky has it at the red line. He's just waiting for Leonard to come off. He does. Here come the Habs, and a shot here on Lindgren, and a save as Caulfield got it away. Ovechkin's going to turn. He fires. He got it. It's a hat trick. Alex Ovechkin finishes off a hat trick here in Montreal. How about that? He picked it up in between the dots, right in front of Charlie Lindgren, and slides it the distance, and a few hats making their way onto the ice here at Bell Center.
So here's some of the notable anecdotes from last night's game. Alex Ovechkin now tied for 4th all-time in hatties with Brett Hull. With 33. He becomes the 6th player to tally a hat trick in his 40s, which I think is a crazy number, by the way. 6 guys have done that.
That's surprising.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. I guess different eras where guys were skitting around without helmets on.
Sure.
Maybe somebody did it.
Goals 905, 906, 907 for the grade 8. He now holds the all-time record for goals with a goaltender in the net. So for all of you party poopers who were whining all of last season all over the country
about
empty net goals, even though Gretzky's and Ovechkin's were pretty comparable, and he didn't even surpass them until most of the way through last year. He's now scored more goals with a goaltender in the net than anybody else in history as well. He also cracked the NHL's all-time top 10 in points, and he has now scored on 185 different goaltenders in his career. I wish he did the thing that Miles Garrett does. I don't know if you're familiar with this. But Miles Garrett at his house, you can imagine he's got a large home. And he's probably got a big yard, too.
Plenty of space there, yeah.
He does this bit. I don't think it's just at Halloween, although that's when I see the picture every year. I think it's year-round, where he has an actual gravestone. Not like real, but like these fake gravestones made with the names of every quarterback he's ever sacked. And they're put up in his yard. So as he
does, he do one for like he has had a 5-sack game this year and a 4-sack game,
right,
which by the way is under talk.
So there's be one headstone for Drake May.
And okay, that's it. That's
right?
What I was asking. Yeah.
But he keeps tabs on like, oh, you're in the graveyard now, and he'll like say that, right? I wish Ovi did that with goalies, and he just had 185 names in his yard.
He needs
point.
Like a farmhouse. There's so many acres to do it. This is one that I've actually did some research and figured out myself stat wise. If you only took the games where Ovechkin has multiple goals. So that's 2 and 3, okay? You only took those. He would be 120th all-time in NHL history in goals. You see what I'm saying? Like, only the games where he scored multiple goals, he's borderline top 100 in the history of the – for anybody that's ever picked up a stick and played in the NHL. He's above great players who were awesome for a long time on the all-time goal-scoring list just in games where he's had multiple goals. The level of insanity of all this. This old man – this old man is just skating around at half speed of what he was 20 years ago, just potting Hatties in his 40s. It's so stupid.
This white-haired guy.
Yes.
Remember when we used to talk about Alex Ovechkin being salt and pepper, but now he's just salt, basically?
Yep.
He's doing the thing again, by the way, the Alex Ovechkin thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 goals in his last 4 games. He has 7 goals in his last 6 games. He's now within 4 goals of the NHL lead.
Yeah.
At 40 years old. Don't stop, man. Play forever. Last night the story was actually, does he play a couple more years and go for 1,000? Now, I'm still thinking this will be the last ride, and at some point later this season he's going to say, I'm calling it, this will be the end of the road. But he is on the precipice now. If he continues to stay hot and you start climbing and you're now one of the league leaders a month from now in goals of people saying, why? You're still scoring.
You're still scoring. I mean, the other part of – and listen, this is not an insult. This is a – it's a realization. Of course he's not the same player he was a handful of years ago in terms of a complete game. But I've always felt he's an underrated passer. I've always felt that was a skill set that nobody ever really paid attention to. And he passed Joe Sakic for 10th all-time at points, just kind of a way to back that up. But such a goal scorer extraordinaire, he doesn't fly around – end-to-end the way that he used to. He doesn't have the speed or explosion, et cetera. Just a nose for the goal. And I know it's cliche, but that's what this is. That's what it's all about. It's the different ways. It's the pinpoint shots, the quick release, the deception in it. It doesn't get old. Just it's phenomenal to watch that guy figure out a different way to score than he was doing, 10 years ago.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're locked into the Fan. It's a field trip Friday on G&D. We're at Uptown Alley in Manassas. They got great food. I had some really good wings already at the bar. Come on out and kick it with us. Bring the family today. Happy hour, whatever you got planned. There's all kinds of cool things to do out here at Uptown Alley. There's bowling lanes. There's laser tag and a arcade as well.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here on the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. As always, we're presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, November 21st, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Johnny Cakes Auville.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Happy Friday.
You got the Commanders hoodie on.
I do.
Even though it's a bye week for them.
It's a good week to wear it. You won't be disappointed. You know what I mean? You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, it's true.
I've had my Jaden jersey. I've been waiting to wear it all season. Had really no need to. There haven't been enough good moments.
I mean, you can still wear team gear even if the team isn't performing well.
It's hard to. I like to rep a winner. I don't like repping a loser.
I mean, you're only going to root for your team in the good times? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I root for them in the bad times, but I don't need to be reminded of it during the week.
Okay.
He doesn't wear the colors with pride when they're a loser.
Yes, yeah. That's 100% true.
I think that makes sense. We've seen that in person for years and years. For years and years, we saw almost no Washington football team, Washington Redskins, yeah. Washington Commanders year, and well, then last year turned around.
That tells me there's a good number of some fair weather fans out there that don't. Look, I've been a Caps fan since day one. I will always wear Caps gear, whether they're good or they're bad.
Well, the good thing it is those colors are good. The burgundy and gold is really not great colors to wear. Like, honestly. It's just not a great color
What do you mean
scheme.
In terms of, like, matching stuff
yeah,
with it?
Yeah, it's just an awkward color scheme. I actually don't
you
love it.
You just make it work.
But you know from experience that we wouldn't see jerseys for years and years.
But my bigger point is, even if your team sucks for a decade, if you're a fan of the team, you would still probably embrace the gear.
Yeah, maybe, but that's
I'm
not
just
reality.
Being a weirdo. I don't know.
That's not reality.
It's not reality.
Okay. Maybe
you
I'm
know
just,
that. How many pregame shows did you do with me? Probably hundreds.
Lots.
And during the last decade, before last season, mm-hmm. how many jerseys would we see out and about? Less and less.
Yeah, people would buy less gear.
I rep the team.
Right.
When you lose, I try not to think about it too
it's
much.
It's just the way it is.
Still root for you every week.
Right.
There's no team I've rooted harder for in my life than this stupid football team. Literally, there's no team I've rooted harder for other than my kids' own teams. There's no team I've ever rooted harder for. Yeah. But when you lose, I don't like to be reminded of you constantly. You know, I like to wear the gear in celebration. I like to wear it on Victory Monday.
Right. Well, yeah. like tomorrow, I'm going to go to the Maryland game. And even though they're mired in, what, a six-week
well,
losing streak?
Different because you're going to the game.
I'm going to wear Terps gear to the Terps game.
Yeah, because you're going to the game. That's perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, but if the Terps were 10-0, mm-hmm. you would see more Terps gear around town.
That's probably true. Last year when they were on their run, I was wearing that Jaden jersey to volleyball tournament.
Right.
That's when you rep.
You're peacocking. You're strutting.
That's when you rep it. Your team's balling.
Cakes may be right on should, but the reality is that's not what happens.
Right.
When a team wins, you'll see more gear.
Yeah.
It just is what happens.
Lucky. The Caps have been good for 20-plus years, by and large, right? Dip here and there. We've been awful for 30 years.
Long time.
How about
a couple
this,
blips?
How about this Capitals offensive explosion the last
Love
couple
it.
Of days?
Love to see it.
8 goals yesterday against the Montreal Canadiens, including a hat trick from Ovi, who's caught fire. He's up to 10 goals now, and it's just kind of a recent burst.
I need to look at his splits when he plays in Montreal. I think he gets excited to play in that building. He puts up big points in Montreal. Now, he does it in basically every building.
He had six goals in his last four games?
6 goals in his last 4 games.
Yeah.
8 points in his last 4 games. So he has caught fire. I think he's up to 10 goals now. And the Capitals get that big win. You know, we talked to Coach Carberry a couple days ago. We're going to have Brandon Duhaime, Caps winger, on the show later in the program. And one of the things that they've been struggling with is the power play. But he said, hey, you know what? We do a good job scoring on 5-on-5. If we can get the special teams units playing a little bit better, then we'll get to the next level. Yesterday, they had 4 power play opportunities and converted twice.
That's pretty good. They
which
would
is
take
really
that.
Good.
I mean, that's an amazing percentage.
Ovi scored one in the first minute of the game.
What do you shoot for, like 35% or something like that?
The top teams are in the 30s.
Yeah, the leaders right now are 30%.
I think if you're in the 20s, you're all right.
You don't want to be in the teens. That's kind of where they're hovering mm-hmm. or have been for the mm-hmm. last few weeks. Like 14, 15%. That's the neighborhood you don't want to be in.
Right.
Yeah, but Ovi scored 1 minute into the game on a power play.
Yep.
That's the way you start a game.
Mm-hmm. Love to see it.
But yeah, that's the thing that they haven't figured out so far this season is that power play. So that's good news that they scored twice.
Ovi gets a hat.
On
Ethan
the power
Frank
play.
Chips in with 2 goals as
I
well.
I always like the Frank kid.
That's he's super fast.
Yeah. Yep.
The Cakes mojo.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I went to the game 2 nights ago, they score 7. Then they go north of the border, they score 8.
All right.
I don't know.
Better keep going then.
I don't know what to tell you.
Keep going. I mean,
coincidence? I think not.
So EB, to your question, currently the top team in terms of power play percentage is the Penguins. They're at 34%.
Right. I said 35.
The Capitals are at 16.1%.
All right, we got to do way better.
And recently it's been worse until last night where they convert 2 out of 4.
Correct.
All right. I'm quite certain they'll get it at least into a reasonable realm. They have probably the greatest weapon on a power play that there's ever been.
Sure. Also, congrats to Dylan Strome and his family. His wife gave birth to, I believe, their third daughter.
Wow.
Like, during the first period of the game last night. While he's in Montreal, she's back here giving birth to her kid.
Right.
Kid came early.
Wow.
Dylan Strome couldn't get home in time.
Right.
Did he try to?
I don't, I mean.
Did it come early, or was it
she
like,
started having contractions.
He didn't really miss anything. It's overrated, this whole being right there.
I agree with you.
Like, 2 hours before puck drop, and he's in Montreal. But there's just no way, like, unless you lease, like, a private jet and fly down, you're just not going to make it in time.
I mean, let's be real. We all love our fathers, who are we've all passed, okay? The three of us here, our fathers have all passed away. Now, Cakes was adopted, so it's a little different, but.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Definitely not in the delivery
room. No, but I have no idea.
We all love our fathers, except for Cakes, who doesn't know his real one.
No. My point is, I have no idea if my father was
Jim
in the delivery room.
He's a master of tact.
Yeah.
No, you weren't listening.
I know where he's going. He's going to talk about the hospital. So yeah, we think your dad was in the hospital.
Was our dad in the delivery? I don't know.
No, my dad was in the waiting room. He waited like 27
right.
hours. Literally, waited 27 hours, and then they say, "Hell yeah, she had the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything's okay."
Didn't make our fathers less of a dad is the point.
Yeah. I feel useless quite a lot in life. Like, a lot. Like, I couldn't even get the little thing off my tire when I was trying to pump air, right? I couldn't feel more useless than I couldn't even get the little cap
the valve
off.
Cap.
You never feel more useless than when you're in a delivery room.
You're just in the way. I mean, you're there to support and you're there to help as best you can.
But can you get some ice chips?
Yeah,
okay, I can get you some ice chips.
There's nothing you can really get.
That's just a contrived thing to make you feel useful.
Give you the dumbest things to do, probably. Like, cut the cord?
Cutting the cord is cool in theory, but again, it's not necessary.
Well, I want to know part of that.
Yeah.
I didn't have
to be
involved.
All you do is grab the thing and cut. I mean, it's
and then they hook it up. They clean up the baby.
Yeah,
the baby comes out looking like an alien.
Yeah, it's a big disaster.
They do their thing.
There.
They clean it up.
To do with it.
And about 10 minutes later,
slimy alien.
Ten minutes later, they bring the baby up. And you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big gross mess. The whole thing. The back in the day in the '50s, that was when it was a great time to be a pop. You just wait in the waiting room.
I don't even think the '50s. I mean,
back in the I Love Lucy days, whatever that was.
I think the Bill Cosby days, because the Cosby Show, Heathcliff Huxtable, there was never a dad in the delivery room. He did his thing.
Yeah.
And he goes out and says, "All right, you got a baby? Boy." And
kind of weird in retrospect. He was a gynecologist on the Cosby Show.
Shocker.
Yeah. I mean,
is there any way if you're a dad, you can just say, "Hey, text me when it's over"?
I mean, if you want to be hated for the rest of your life,
everyone has just set this tone and all these
that
wives
that you have to be there.
I'm sure the doctors would way rather you not be there.
I know, like you said, there's nothing you can really do.
Nothing you can do. You can sit there and look. You want your wife to be comfortable, right? It's a nightmare scenario for them in a lot of ways. Most of it's a nightmare, right? But there's really nothing you can do. You talk to them a little bit, give them some ice. For the most part, they got to go through this hell.
Hold your hand or squeeze your hand.
Hand holding
a little,
definitely.
But then you get in the way when it really gets time to go time.
When it's crunch time, you're in the way.
You got to get out of the way.
For the last one, I had the immobilizer on my leg because I had just had ACL surgery a week before. I was literally laying down on a bench and couldn't. And then was like, okay, it's go time. Right, then he kind of hobble up. And I wasn't going to be down low, just kind of up high by the shoulders and be like, good job, babe.
You don't want anything to do with being down low. Trust me, you want to be up by the head.
Yeah, I stayed up high.
Yeah.
People get down low and they can never forget what they saw.
In other words, I don't think Stromer missed anything.
No.
It's great. When he gets back, he'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know.
Miss a couple days, big deal.
You know what? He'll get some good sleep.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, congratulations to the Washington Capitals. Big win for them. They have moved up to fourth in their division. Because when you were looking at the standings, I know it's super early.
Together.
And you still got 60 games to go. It's not great when you would see them at the very bottom.
Yeah.
So they're moving up.
A little disconcerting.
They're at 24 points. First place is Carolina with 28 points. So, look, there's not much separation because last place is at 22. But they've moved up a little bit. They've won three in a row now. So great to see that offensive output by the Washington Capitals. As I mentioned, Brandon Duhaime from the Caps. He'll join us coming up at 9:45. Remember, you can always text us on the Main Street Bank text line. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.